With the paper boy, this is your house once a week.
Do you serve the people?
If the cleaners loses just one of the five dresses you took in, do you consider the cleaners faithful?
If your refrigerator decides to take a weekend vacation once a month or so, do you consider your refrigerator to be faithful?
If you don't show up for work a couple of times a month, does your boss say, close enough? If you miss a couple of car payments during the course of the year, does the bank say, hey, 10 out of 12 ain't bad? I don't know. Seems to me there are some things, at least, where faithfulness matters. In fact, where faithfulness is absolutely critical. Jesus believed that. It was a point he made a lot. Jesus talked about the faithfulness of God toward us. And then a kind of corresponding need for our faithfulness to God and to each other. For Jesus, it was important to not just talk the talk, but also to walk the walk. And our text for today is one of the many places where Jesus makes that point. Our text is one of the parables of Jesus. It's included in our gospel reading for today. It's from Matthew chapter 21. It reads, there was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, you go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But he later repented and went. The father went to the other son and said, son, you go and work today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not. It's one of the lesser known parables, but I think it's an important one with an important message. In this parable, the father, of course, represents God. His sons, they are us. And the vineyard is the world. And Jesus begins this parable by affirming that we are called. We are the called children of God. Our Heavenly Father has issued a divine call, a divine imperative, a divine mandate, a divine directive. And it's a simple one. You go and work in my vineyard. Call to action. A call to work in his world. Work in his vineyard. It is, first of all, a call for us to spread and apply God's love. Spread and apply God's love in the world. It's the great commandment. Love one another even as I have first loved you, so you are to love one another. It's a call to service to one another. Jesus said, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it also unto me. Luther would emphasize that we fulfill this through our vocatio, our vocation, our positions in life. Usually it's in something extraordinary. It's just what we do, and we do very naturally. As spouses, as parents, grandparents, as neighbors, as church members, in all the places God has put us, spreading, applying God's love. But it also is a call for us to share God's love and gospel with others. The Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own people, so that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who has called you. Called to apply God's love, share God's love. Involved in all that too is a call to righteousness, a call to holiness, a call to live as His people. And it's a call issued to us. In the parable, the Father goes to both of His sons. He's speaking to them.
There's a great tendency for us to look at all God commands and to say that that applies to somebody else. You know, somebody else needs to do something. We have to say, you know, the government should do something. The homeowners association should do something. The school should do something. My neighbor should do something. We're very good at reflecting the call to somebody else. But in the parable, the Father doesn't speak to somebody else. He's speaking directly to His children. Jesus is talking to me. He's talking to you. It's about what we are to do, not what somebody else should do. A call to all of us. A lot of you know that I'm a kind of history freak, and one of the aspects of history that I enjoy is World War II. Like most of you, I wasn't alive at the time, so what I know about World War II comes from books and documentaries and endless shows on the History Channel. But as you read those things, watch those things, you can get a real misconception. It's easy to get the idea that World War II happened on the front. That World War II was about guys shooting at each other. World War included that. But actually, the number of people in uniform during World War II who ever shot a gun at the enemy is extremely small. Very few soldiers in World War II ever fired a gun at the enemy. Now, does that mean everybody else in uniform was irrelevant? Unnecessary? Not at all. Not getting much attention, but in many ways, just as important were all the cooks and the truck drivers, the supply officers and radar experts, the mechanics and radio operators, the chaplains and the medics, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. The war could not have been fought without them. The victory would not have been ours without them. They were absolutely essential, absolutely necessary. And it wasn't just those millions in uniform. It was also the tens of millions of people who were not in uniform. Scientists and engineers, textile workers making clothes, farmers growing food, a wife working overtime, riveting airplanes together, the Texan drilling for oil, the Boy Scout going around and gathering up scrap metal, and on and on and on and on it goes. Tens of millions of people. The war could not have been fought without them. The victory would not have been ours without them. People working hard. People working strong, people doing their best, people doing it for America. And they not only worked hard, they gave a lot of money. Never before in American history were taxes even close to as high as they were during the Second World War. But more than half of Americans not only paid those taxes, but fought war bonds. People were eager to support. Yeah. Now here's my point. World War II was not fought or won by a tiny percentage of servicemen shooting guns at each other. It was won by every single American. Young and old, male and female, black and white, every single American doing his part. Doing it to the best of his ability. And doing it for America. Folks, In a way, we too are at war. In a way, too, we are soldiers of the cross. We are at a war to extend the kingdom of God. His love, His will, His people going to heaven. We are at war against the devil and against evil and against wrong and against sin and against hate. We are at a war. And this war cannot be won by somebody else. It cannot be won by a tiny number of people dedicated. It can only be fought, it can only be won by everyone. Everyone. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white. Everyone doing their part. Doing it to the very best of their ability. And doing it for the Lord. That's what he's talking about. It's a call, a divine call, a divine mandate, a divine imperative to all his children. Today, work. But that's where this parable gets interesting. Because the parable focuses on the son's response to this call. And here's what I find intriguing. I wonder if it struck you as it did me. There's someone missing. There's a son missing in the parable. Where's the good son? Where's the son who says, yes, sir, and goes out and picks a billion bushels of grapes? Where is that good son? It's entirely missing. I suspect that's on purpose. Because you see, God has no good sons. He just has sinful sons. Fallen, broken, dysfunctional sons. To the first, the father says, today, you go work in my vineyard. And the son says, yes. And then doesn't know. I think it happens a lot. I think it's a really common sort of thing. We are good at saying yes. Why, Christians have become experts in saying the right words. When I was in seminary, we had a prof who called this Sunday school answers. We got answers to everything we learned in Sunday school. We're good at giving those answers, saying those things. We include them in our hymns. We include them in our prayers. All about saying yes. But that's the need we do it. Sometimes there is a big disconnect between what we say to God and what we do for God. We're good at talking the talk, not always so hot at walking the walk. Over and over again, Jesus condemns this kind of superficial lip service, this talking the talk. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And again, Jesus said, I know your works. I know how they are neither hot or cold. I wish they were one or the other, but they are not. They are lukewarm. And because they are lukewarm, I must spit you out of my mouth. When I was a kid growing up, we had a neighbor, and he had one of those Volkswagen buses. Those of you who were alive in the 60s know what I'm talking about. Volkswagen buses, they were very popular, very big on the inside, very tiny in the engine, and very popular. Well, anyway, our neighbor had one of these Volkswagen buses.
And on the back of this German-made Volkswagen bus was a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker read, "Buy American." Now, even as a kid, I caught the irony here. Even as a kid, I saw the contradiction between what he said and what he did. I think it happens a lot. But rather than giving you a lot of examples, I'm going to give you 20 seconds. I'm going to time you. 20 seconds for you to quietly, silently look at yourself. Look into your own heart. Look into your own life and ask yourself this question. How do I do this? How do I say yes and then walk away? 20 seconds. Go. You'll agree with me that we can identify with this first son. The one who hears the call, understands the call, says the right words, but doesn't do it. But there's a second son, his other son. The father goes to him and extends exactly the same call. Go and work today in my vineyard. And this son says, no. No way. I'm not going to do it. Seems almost shocking, doesn't it? That someone would say that to their father. Especially to their heavenly father, who is, of course, the father in the parable. To look God straight in the eyes and say, no. But I think we also do this one a lot. Maybe it's Sunday morning, and the alarm goes off, and we hear the call of God. It's a simple one. One to publicly worship Him. Now, the problem is not with our ears. It's not that we don't hear the call of God, but we do. And the problem is not with our brain. It's not that we don't understand the call of God. That's not the problem. The problem is in our heart. It's in our will. No God, I ain't going. Or maybe a neighbor comes home from the hospital. He lives all by himself. I really should go over and bring him maybe a casserole for dinner or maybe volunteer to do his laundry or something. I hear the call. Nothing wrong with my ears. I understand the call. Nothing wrong with my brain. But I look God in the eyes and I say, nope. Ain't going to do it. Or maybe there's a new person at work, they're a Christian person, they're looking for a church, and I know I should invite them to my church. It's really a very simple thing to do. I hear the call, nothing wrong with my ears. I understand the call, nothing wrong with my brain. Problems in here, because I look God in the eyes and I say, ain't going to happen. No. For you to quietly evaluate your own heart and life, how do you sometimes look God in the eye and say, no? Thank you.
who is the hero of the parable. The second one was the model, the example, the paradigm for our life. And the reason is because he didn't stop with no. That isn't the end of the story. He thought about things. He thought about what he had done. And he repented and went to work. That's why he's the model. Not because he said no, but because he repented. He thought about it. He evaluated. He stopped and took the time to think, what am I doing? And then went to work. As Christians, we have that same opportunity. Those of us who are fallen sons, not good sons, who sometimes do incredible things, we have that same opportunity to stop, to think about it, to repent, and to get to work. Because, you see, as Christians, what we did or didn't do yesterday really isn't the point. Because God's grace and mercy can be applied to that. Because the blood of the Lamb covers all of that. Because God has already taken that and drowned that in the bottomless sea of his infinite and eternal grace, where even he can't find it anymore. What matters, folks, is not what we did or didn't do yesterday. What matters is what are we doing today? And therefore going to do tomorrow. That's the point. That's the privilege that we have. Our text reminds us of the call. It's a divine call. A divine imperative, a divine mandate, a divine directive issued to all of us. Not to somebody else, but to you and to me. It's a call to spread and apply his love. It's a call to share his love and his gospel. It's a call to serve. It's a call to righteousness. A call we hear and a call we understand. Jesus reminds us to be faithful, to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding be ours in Christ Jesus.
Amen.